رسول الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise and thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank him and I praise him and I seek his help and I seek his forgiveness and I seek refuge in Allah from the evil within our own selves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can lead astray. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguides, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. Dear viewers, the knowledge, the ilm, the virtue of such a ilm and knowledge that is incumbent on every Muslim to seek a portion of it. Why is it important? Why seeking knowledge? It's something that is very important in our religion. I would like to start with a question. And the question is, what is the most valuable thing in our life that we would seek in this world that we live in? What is the most valuable thing? If people throughout the world, they sit together and each person would talk about the most valuable thing in one's life that they would seek, and they would put the effort and the wealth trying to seek this goal, you would find many different answers. They would refer to the apparent life that people see with their own physical eyes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the human beings in general, but especially the disbelievers, if they are not guided by the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that they only see or they only know the apparent things of this life. How can a person get to know the reality of things? The only way that we can get to know that is through the pure and protected revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why the people on the face of earth are in so much need of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They need the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam more than they need the sun, the moon, the earth, the air that they breathe, the food and drinks. Why is that? Because every human being is able to sustain their own life by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us. For example, when a person is just born, he knows how to, for example, eat and drink. And this is something that gets developed step by step and day after day. All of that is by the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the animals, the animal would be able to differentiate between the dust and the barley, for example. All of that is by the guide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's the most merciful, the most high subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى, the one that gave every creation its way and he guided them. So this is something that the human beings are able to figure out, how to eat and drink and seek money and gain wealth and so on and so forth. But they need the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get to know the purpose of their life, to get to know the way of how to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's such a serious matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us for play. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, this is the only purpose of our creation. That we have been created for what purpose? And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. You see the human being, and how much the human being is so much deficient in many ways. Nobody would claim that they do things without a purpose. The matter that the fact that I'm sitting on a table now and I have a pen and a paper in front of me, there's a reason for that. And that's why as human beings, we tend to refer to the reasons and the wisdom behind doing things. And we are deficient. Imagine the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that created the air that we breathe, the one that created the fire and the trees and the skies and the earth and so on. And if you go back, for example, towards the end of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding the believers by the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the way that they were created from a dirty drop, whether it's from the water, whether it's from farming, whether it's from the fire, that you see how the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You don't go to a store, for example, to get some fire for you to be able to use it at home. It's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made so much easy, something that is essential in our life, that we cannot sustain our life without having a fire. But see, you don't get it from a jungle somewhere. You don't get it from a store somewhere. You can just ignite it from something that you can even eat, from something that is green, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in Surah Yaseen. So as a result of that, we have to witness the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind all things that happens around us. And there is no way for a person to get to know that except by looking and witnessing to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by looking into the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wahy, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So as a result of that, if we go back to the question, what is the most valuable thing? If a person would say wealth, if a person would say status, whatever people might say, all of this ends, terminates by the end of the life of the human being. And then after that, nothing that the person would accumulate on the face of earth from these physical things would ever stay with him after his death. So that's why it's not the most valuable thing. It shouldn't be the most valuable thing in our life. The most valuable thing, the thing that would stays forever, an everlasting happiness. And that is after this life for the person to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forgive me for a long introduction, but it's very, very important that we never become in state of forgetfulness when it comes to the purpose of our life in anything that we do. We have still a long journey to go before the person would reach his final destination, whether it's Jannah, paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the believers, or whether it's the hellfire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the disbelievers and the sinners and so on. It's a long journey to go. After the short period of this life, there is the state of the grave and the questioning in the graves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such a fitna. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us about that. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the authentic hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and others, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيْهِ أَنَّكُمْ تُفْتَنُونَ فِي قُبُورِكُمْ قَرِيبًا أَوْ مِثْلْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, and this is by the way an evidence, that revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just the Quran, it's also the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, that you will be questioned, tried in the graves, close or the same as the fitna of the Dajjal, the Antichrist, which is the biggest fitna, the biggest tribulation that would afflict the human beings from the creation of Adam alayhi salam till the day of judgment. So after that, there is the grave. This is the transition state before the day of judgment. Whether the person will be in delight or the person will be in agonies and misery and the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, the day of judgment. Its length, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in the Quran, 50,000 years long. A person needs some provisions in such a journey. And that's why those who have the provisions from this life, it's not a physical provision. It's the provisions of the good deeds. The good deeds that would take the person in such a journey in peace, in ease. That would get him from one stage to the other to be honored. Not to be humiliated. Not to be punished. Some people, their provisions, which is their good deeds, will make them reach their final destination, which is Jannah, in peace. Even if they die in the state of the Tawheed. If they died in the state of Al-Islam and they did not repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they still have some sins, but still they died on the state of Al-Islam, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them or they will be punished and then eventually they would enter Jannah as a result of the deficiency in their provisions. So we need these provisions. How can we get to know these provisions? Can we get to know it by matters of desire? The smart people on the face of earth would sit together and decide for themselves what are the provisions to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way, no way for someone to get to know that on the face of earth unless he has been revealed to him, and this is only for the messengers of Allah, and they have been terminated. The final messenger, sealed of all messengers, is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is no happiness, there is no goodness, there is no salvation. There is no way a person would seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless he is behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All the means and the path to the Jannah has been blocked except one path, and that is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as a result of that, how can a person then be a follower of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam without knowledge. How would a person know to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah? What is the meaning of pillars of Al-Islam, pillars of Al-Iman? Something that every Muslim should learn. For what purpose? So that we live this life according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attain the everlasting happiness. And that's why this is the most valuable thing that a person would seek on the face of earth. We need to change and to correct our ways of understanding things. The correct way is the ways that are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we would see in the Quran the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for more is ilm. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi, my Rabb, my Lord, my Sustainer, my Creator. Zidni ilma means increase my knowledge. This is the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more of. And that is the knowledge. The knowledge that would take the person, these are the provisions that a person is in need of, this power, the power of knowledge and the power of action, because they go hand in hand. We have to make sure that when a person learns something, we apply what we learn. And this is something that as Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, when he talked about the two forms of quwwah, two forms of power that a person is in need of, al-quwwah al-ilmiyyah wal-quwwah al-amaliyyah, the knowledge power, the power of knowledge, and the power of action. We have to seek these two forms of power. The first form of power, when a person gets to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. We as Muslims, what is the meaning of being a Muslim? It is not just letters that has no meanings to it. It means that we are submitters, surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ways, unwillingly or willingly. When a person is born, nobody had taken the permission from someone whether you would like to be born or not. Everybody born by the destiny and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing when it comes to the moment of death and the way that we sustain our life and so on and so on, and the different qadr and the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for us to willingly submit ourselves to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And this is can never be attained unless a person become a follower. So the main concern that we have in our life is what? Is to get to know. To get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And once we have this great ni'mah, this is a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a person to get to know what the most merciful he wants from him or her. Once we have this power, then the person would seek the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be steadfast and to apply this knowledge into actions. Once knowledge surpasses actions, that means a person would have some form of arrogance. And once action surpasses knowledge, that means a person is having the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to do righteous good deeds, but with lack of knowledge. That means he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or she would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on ignorance. And as a result of that, a person would fall into innovations in the religion of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran, that this is our original status. إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَ أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. That this amana, this trust, has been presented to the heavens and to the earth and to the mountains. They refused this trust to bear this heavy responsibility, to willingly submit themselves to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And they refused except the human being. The human being bore such a responsibility. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا, this is صِغَةٌ مُبَالَغَةٌ, meaning that he is too much unjust and he is too much ignorant. This is our original status. Unless a person change that status, how can we change the status of being unjust? By having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every human being has the tendency to commit injustice. If he or she have the means and the power over others, they would tend to be greedy, unless a person would have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing when it comes to knowledge. Jahula, meaning that he is too much in ignorance. Not ignorance about what to eat, how to use technology, and things of that nature. This is not what it means. It means that the human being is in ignorance when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, if they believe in the most merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala, they need to get to know from him subhanahu wa ta'ala how to worship him, how to be obedient to him. And this is something that is basically what it meant by knowledge and ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised in the Quran, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned many ahadiths, authentic ahadiths, to show the superiority of the people of knowledge, to show the virtues of seeking the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, and you've heard many verses in the Quran, many ahadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authentic hadith of Uqba ibn Amr radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the people of As-Suffah, the poor companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to live by the back of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he offered them something alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, أَيُّكُمْ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَغْدُوا إِلَى بُطْحَانِ. Who among you would like to go to Butan or Al-Aqiq, which is outside of Al-Madinah, very short distance, and go there and come back with two camels, red camels from the most expensive ones. مِنْ غَيْرِ إِثْمٍ وَلَا قَطِيعَةِ رَحِمٍ. Without committing a sin and without cutting the kin and kith, the relationship to the relatives. They said, we would love to do that, O Prophet of Allah, something that is very valuable at their time. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he informed them of something that people on the face of earth won't get to know it by their apparent understanding and knowledge of the world that they live in. They need revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to get to know this knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, in the meaning of which, that if one of you goes to the masjid, the house of Allah, to learn two verses of the Quran, it's better than two camels. And three verses of the Quran is better than three camels. And the more, the more. And so on. This is knowledge of the wahy, of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beauty of getting to know the deen of Islam. A person would seek the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these provisions that we need in the day of judgment, when a person would seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So as a result of that, we first have to correct some of the misunderstandings that we have. One of these things that need to be corrected is that the most valuable thing in our life that we need to seek is the knowledge of the deen of Islam. How can we then define knowledge? What is ilm? What is the definition of al-ilm? What to seek? What it means to seek knowledge? Al-ilm is, قال الله, قال رسوله, قال الصحابة, as it's mentioned by the ulama, which means that this knowledge is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the companions radiallahu anhum said, without ambiguity. This is basically what the knowledge is, the knowledge of al-wahy, the knowledge of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim would take the time to learn the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, to learn the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, one verse at a time, one hadith at a time, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to get to know the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they understood this deen. This religion of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not something that people discovered recently, that each person can interpret it the way they like. It's something that has been practiced in a perfect way at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, at the time of the companions radiallahu anhum, at the time of the early generations of Islam. Those generations where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised, and he said alayhi salatu wa sallam, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, which means that the best of the people are my generation, and the generation to come next, and the generation to come next. So these are the generations that we need to imitate the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. You probably heard before that the knowledge is of two types, mandatory knowledge and optional knowledge or recommended knowledge. The mandatory knowledge for every Muslim, we are lacking this at the time that we live in. We're lacking the proper education for us to learn the basic knowledge that we need to learn when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of this, did we learn about the pillars of al-Iman? Did we learn about the tawheed and the oneness of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the meaning of la ilaha illallah? Many people would say that la ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah. And this can mean so many things. Disbelievers, they sometimes believe in the same way. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the creator, the sustainer, and so on. But they be, should, do they believe in La ilaha illallah? Do they believe in the meaning of La ilaha illallah? If they get to know the meaning of it, then they would understand that there's no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have a call from Brother Ahmed from Al Giza. We'll continue after the call, inshallah. Go ahead, inshallah.
Yes, I am from Giza. My name is Ahmed Hamdoun. I want to ask you one question, please.
Khudan. Go ahead, Chan.
Okay.
Go ahead.
In English or in Arabic, if you want.
In English, please.
My question, me working in company. So I sell the car. Through shopping, through also from company. So every month, take from my salary about 500 pounds. Okay? This can I go to the Hague or must be paid the money and go to the Hague?
Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much. Continue, inshallah. Later on, we can talk about the answers, inshallah ta'ala. So the meaning of La ilaha illallah, which means that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that anything worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's worshipped with batil, with falsehood. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ. That means that anything that the people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is falsehood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, is the one to be worshipped subhanahu wa ta'ala. The meaning of ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, in general terms and in specific terms, that the only one that we follow in the absolute sense, unconditional following, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means, how would we follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam if we don't get to know the ways of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam? What did he say alayhi salatu wassalam, so that we can learn that, and so that we submit ourselves to the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran in many verses to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul wa uli al-amri minkum. That all you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who are in charge of you. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So how can a person learn that? We need the time and the specifications of that to get to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. The same thing when it comes to the pillars of al-Iman, the matters of how to believe in the angels and the books and the messengers, and how to believe in the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment. All of these things are unseen to us, and there's no way for a person to get to know the unseen unless the person would get to know that from the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing when it comes to the pillars of al-Islam. When it comes to the salah, for example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam said, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray in the same manner that you saw me praying. We did not see the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, but it's by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they recorded for us every single move and every single thing that the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam said. Anything to the extent of which, that if the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, they knew that he would recite in the silent prayer, like in dhuhr prayer, as a result of seeing his beard alayhi salatu wassalam moving from behind him alayhi salatu wassalam. They were watching the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam very closely to get to know how to pray, how to perform the salah. And this is something that has been recorded, and that's why we pray and we should pray the same way like the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. Same thing when it comes to fasting, paying the zakah, and going for hajj, and the different pillars and the different obligations. What is halal and what is haram? When we are living in a world that so many different things as a result of people not adhering to the orders of Allah, that you would find many transactions that deals with non-permissible acts. How can a person protect himself or protect herself? We need to learn. If a person is buying and selling, he has to or she has to learn the rulings of buying and selling and transactions, or ask the people of knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. And the same thing when a person, the month of Ramadan comes, we need to learn how to fast. there are things that breaks the fast. How can a person protect his acts of worship so that it becomes sound and it becomes a provision for oneself in the day of judgment, and so on and so forth. So this knowledge is not based on dreams. It's not based on intellectual understanding. It's based on wahy, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a way that shows the honor of the people of knowledge, they are the most honored in this life and in the hereafter, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the authentic hadith, al-ulama'u warathatu al-anbiya, that the ulama, the scholars, the knowledgeable ones, are the inheritors of the prophets. They are the inheritors of the prophets. The prophets alayhi salam, they did not inherit, they did not pass after them wealth or physical things. They passed what? They passed the knowledge, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why whoever takes this knowledge after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's passed from one generation to the other, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved it from one generation to the other through the people of knowledge, those who would give the time to learn the deen of Allah, the deen of Al-Islam, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them into such higher rank as a result of them taking the inheritance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they preserved the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by teaching it to others. This is the most honorable thing for a person to learn that. So now we get to know the virtue of it, that this is something that is mandatory as some parts of knowledge, it's mandatory for every Muslim to learn. And the optional or the recommended parts of knowledge for a person to teach others, this is something that the best thing and the most valuable thing for a person to seek, of course. Why? Because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, that the best among you are those who learned the Qur'an and then taught it to others. This is how the person or the Muslim is. He learns, then he teaches what he learned to others. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the best among you. And this is something that we are in need of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to get to know who is the best. And that's why the early generations of Al-Islam, they used to travel for long distances, maybe for one hadith, as it's mentioned in many narrations. They would go for a faraway distance just to get to know one hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Something that a person would spend wealth and effort and health and time to get to learn the most valuable thing. And that is the knowledge, the ilm of the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So getting to know these virtues and even getting into the higher level of how to seek the knowledge that is recommended for us, something that is very important. If a person has the means to do that, and by the way, since I'm speaking in English, English is not the language of al-ilm, of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The language, as we know, that the language of the ilm of the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the Arabic language. And that's why this is the language that should unite the Muslims. It's not something that we would speak into other languages, spreading the ilm that way, that a person would become a scholar based on other than the language of the Arabic language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the final revelation to be. This is definitely not the right way. That's why for those who are seeking the knowledge seriously, to be among the scholars, to be among the students of knowledge, those who would teach others the deen of Al-Islam, they have to take the time out first to learn the beautiful language of Arabic, so that they do not depend on translators anymore. They would learn the knowledge from its sources, from one generation to the other. And that's why you would see in any Islamic university or any place that a person would seek the proper knowledge, the people would start with the Arabic language first. And this is such an important point that we have to pay attention to. This is the language that unites the Muslims. This is the language of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no harm for us to translate, and that's why, for example, I'm speaking now in English. For what purpose? To pass on the mandatory knowledge. We need to give the da'wah and to spread the deen of Allah, spread the deen of Al-Islam in whatever language that people would speak. And it's something that is important for some Muslims to learn the languages of others so that they would spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes for someone that wants to be a student of knowledge, someone that wants to seek this most valuable thing on the face of earth, then if a person has the time to take the time out in which he or she would learn the Arabic language, master the Arabic language, and then learn the matters of knowledge, and then a person can pass it to his people or to her people in whatever language they speak. So this is definitely a very important point when it comes to knowledge and seeking knowledge. the virtue of the knowledge of the Deen of Islam, as we heard, it's something that is very important and very critical. And I would give you an example or something to make it even clearer. We know that as we understand what Islam is, Islam means submission, surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have been ordered to ask the people of knowledge. We have been ordered to ask the people of knowledge, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And the ulama are the inheritors of the prophets, as we heard. That means what? That means if we ask the alim, the scholar in the religion of Islam, and he explains to us the verdict, then we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to perfect our Islam by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine that you submit yourself to something that is wrong. This is a real disaster. This is a worse disaster than a person falling into whatever physical disasters that people would agree upon. This is a disaster. Why? Because we have been ordered to submit ourselves. We're not ordered to question. We can get to know the wisdom behind things, but once we get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, He wants from us, then we have nothing but to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means we have to make sure that whatever we are submitting ourselves to is the proper knowledge, is the truth from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why the responsibility of the people of knowledge, it's such a huge responsibility. And that's why when a person seek the knowledge and get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, so that he or she would do nothing but to submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we learn the knowledge, then we would submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act according to this knowledge that we learn. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in a very beautiful hadith to show the virtue of the alim, of the scholar of the religion of Islam, compared to the abid, to the one that is busy with acts of worship. And when we say abid, it's not someone that is just praying the five daily prayers. We're talking about someone that his life, his day and night is busy with matters of ibadah, whether it's salah, whether it's dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth, busy with the matters of ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the virtue of al-alim, the scholar, compared to the abid, is like the virtue of me compared to the least among you. We'll continue that inshallah ta'ala after the break.
سنعود بإذن الله. حان الآن موعد أذان العشاء.
الله أكبر.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه اللهم المقام المحمود الذي وعدته.
بفضل الله
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
وأشهد أن محمدا رسول
الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Welcome back. We're continuing the hadith that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned in it the virtue of the alim, of the scholar, compared to the abid, the one that is busy with matters of ibadah. And he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the virtue of the scholar, the knowledgeable person compared to the one that is busy with matters of ibadah, is like my virtue compared to the least among you. And in another version, كفضل القمر على سائر الكواكب, which is the virtue of the moon compared to the rest of the stars. You see how clear of an example that is. We know that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he's the best ever walked on the face of earth. There is not even a form of comparison here between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and any of his ummah alayhi salatu wa sallam. He is the best ever walked on the face of earth. But see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of how the alim, the scholar, the knowledgeable person is so virtue. And when a Muslim would hear such a beautiful example that shows how much virtue and how much superior are the people of knowledge in this life and in the hereafter, then a person should take the means to get to study the beautiful religion of Islam as a fact and take this as a very important principle. The truth, since it's the truth, the more you learn about it, the more you hold fast to it, because it's the truth, becomes clearer and clearer. Falsehood, the more a person would learn falsehood, the more he becomes shaky and doubtful about it. And that's why in the religion of Islam, all of us are encouraged to learn. We need to learn. And once we learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we learn, the more our iman will increase. Our faith will increase. Especially if this is something that is translated to actions. We heard how virtue that is and how important that is in our life, because it's something to do with the hereafter. There's no such a thing in the religion of Islam that knowledge is only for a specific group of people and then the rest of the ummah, they're supposed to be in state of ignorance. This is not the case. The Quran is for every Muslim, for every human being to submit to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get to learn. As the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when the verses would be revealed, they would take 10 verses at a time, as Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said. And they would learn how to recite them, learn the rulings mentioned in the verses, and then act according to these verses, and then goes to the next verses and so on and so forth. So they learned al-ilm wal-amal jami'an. They learned knowledge and actions together. There was no separation between knowledge and actions. Once they learned something, they would act according to it. It would increase their iman. Even if it's something that is not related necessarily to something that they do, it's a ni'mah, it's a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person get to know something. And as a result of that, that would have its effect on one's ibadah and so on. One of the early generations of Islam, when someone was reading the hadith of the three those who were in the cave, and I won't mention the long hadith that you probably read it in the beginning of the book of Riyadh al-Salihin and others. When three people from Bani Israel, from the children of Israel, when they went into a cave and a big rock blocked their passage out, and each person made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one of their good deeds that they'd done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them, and they were relieved after they made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this long hadith has been recited, he said to the one that was reading the hadith, "This hadith has been mentioned for us to act according to it, not for us to be amazed." Many of us, when we read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the verses of the Quran, we become amazed of how beautiful that is, which is good, mashallah. But this is not the end. This is the beginning. Once a person is amazed and he likes so much of what he heard, we need then to submit ourselves into actions. We need to learn, because the verses and the hadith refers to us. It's talking to us individually. That's why we have to submit ourselves individually. When we hear in the Quran, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu," Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He said, "Far'i laha sam'ak," means give it your ears. Because this call, "O you who believe," right? That's how they translate it. "O you who believe." Who is this call to? If we among the believers and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among them, if a person claims to be among the believers, then this call is for each and every one of us. And it's from who? From the Most High, the Most Merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each verse is a treasure by itself. That a person is depriving himself from getting to learn and to benefit from such a treasure that a person would regret in the Day of Judgment. And we need to save ourselves from any forms of regret if we would get to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And when we ask the people of knowledge, when we seek knowledge from the people of knowledge, we have to make sure that they are people of knowledge. And as we heard in the previous hadith, that al-ulama warathatul anbiya, which means that they are the inheritors of the prophets. They remind you of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. A alim, a scholar in the religion of Islam, someone that imitates the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in every major and minor issue. He would not say this is something recommended, I would leave aside. He's a alim, he's supposed to be the look-alike of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not necessarily physically, but when it comes to the physical actions, the physical appearance, yes, the actions in general, the behavior, the belief, everything. Why? Because he got to learn that from one generation to the other, that refers back to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's a very strong chain, that this is the chain of the people of knowledge. Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, when he talked about the biography of Imam Abi Dawud, the one that had the Sunan of Abi Dawud, when he talked about his biography, and he said that he was so much the like of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, his teacher. And then he kept going from one after the other. Imam Ahmad was the like of so on and so forth, till it reaches Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, He was the lookalike of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in his hadi and in his dal and his samt, in his way of doing things, in his outside appearance, in his actions, in his behavior. He was the same as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So see how the people of knowledge are from one generation to the other supposed to be imitating the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in every major and minor issue, and this is how they teach the people. So it's very important for us to get to know the people of knowledge. Those who would apply the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام spend their life learning the deen of Allah, and they act according to the Quran and the Sunnah the way it was understood and applied at the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and the early generations of Islam, so that we can get to know these treasures. By the way, treasure is mentioned in one of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that a person would never get to know that unless he would get to know that by knowledge and seeking knowledge of the deen of Islam, as it's mentioned in the authentic hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, كنز, meaning a treasure from the treasures of Jannah, just by saying لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no might, there is no turn from one state to the other, there is no power of might or might except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by saying this beautiful word, it's a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. This is not something that people will get to know in a dream, for example. It's only from the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the believers, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would like and would love to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment, and this is something that the believers would have this great bounty and honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that is mentioned in the Quran, وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٍ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٍ, that on the Day of Judgment, that our faces will be in delight, they will be looking, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that in the hadith in Sahih Muslim and others, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, in the meaning of which, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ عَيَانًا, that you would see your Rabb, your Lord, your Creator, with your eyes in the Day of Judgment, كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرِ, the same way that you would see the moon without any pain in seeing it. You don't get together, لا تضمون في رؤيته, that means you don't push one another to get to see something that is high, resembling, not that the moon is like of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, والعياذ بالله, this is not what it means. It means that the way that you see, the ease of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be in such a way in the Day of Judgment. So this is a fact, this is something that is unseen to us, that we get to believe in it as a result of what's mentioned in the verses in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then comes the action. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ عَلَى أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُرُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفْعَلُوا, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, which means that if you are capable of never missing a salah before sunrise and before sunset, then do so, which means صلاة الفجر and صلاة العصر. If you are capable that you are never defeated, see تغلبوا, the word تغلبوا meaning that you are defeated. Who is defeating us? When a person would delay the salah, would sleep and not get up for the salah, it is the shaitan. And the way that we treat ourselves, that we become lazy in matters of the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reminding us, don't be defeated, that you need to, if you want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment, that comes with the actions that we do. That's why a person has to be patient in matters of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the religion of Islam is something that supposed to be very easy for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made easy for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most rich, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala did not order us with something that is over our capacity. Everything from the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's in the capacity of the human beings. And that's why if a person is not capable physically of doing an action, you would find the different means of breaks and rukhas and so on for the person. Like for example, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, صلي قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنب. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, that he said عليه الصلاة والسلام, pray standing. This is the order of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. For the prayer, we're not supposed to pray sitting. If a person has the capability of praying standing for Salatul Fard, for the obligatory prayer, and he or she prays sitting, the salah is not valid for the obligatory salah. If he or she are capable of standing, but this is something that a person would acquire by knowledge with the conditions and so on. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're not capable, then pray sitting. If not, then laying down. The point is that the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made matters of ibadah easy for us. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala did not overburden you with matters in this religion. And that's why when you come, for example, to things that are haram, we get to know that by knowledge. It's not based on the environment that we live in. It's not based on what we like or the 21st century or whatever there is. Something that has been saved for us. Something for the people of knowledge to explain to us. And when you see it, you would see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade on us, what is it? The al-khaba'ith. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثُ, which means the evil things, the wicked things. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade. When a person would get to seek the knowledge, he would see that very clearly. It's not a matter of making it difficult for the people. It's a matter to live a goodly life in this life and the everlasting happiness in the Jannah, in the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for the believers. How would a person have the good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. How can a person attain that? To have the good expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by knowledge. By getting to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, by the names and getting to know the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need of the knowledge of Islam. As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said that people are in need of al-ilm more than they need al-ta'am wa al-sharab, more than they need eating and drinking. Why? Because you might eat and drink twice or three times or whatever a day. But you need knowledge with every breath you take. With every breath we take, we need knowledge. What does that mean? We need to know how to speak. We need to know how to believe. We need to know how to act. And all of these different things, which is parts of al-ubudiyyah, the purpose of our life, how can we know that except by following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We know that to the extent of which how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the bathroom and so on, we have this recorded for us. That means what? That means nothing is being missed. Everything has been completed. Nothing that would get the person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we have been ordered to do. Nothing that would get us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we have been forbidden from doing. This is the beauty of this religion. But then to turn away from that and to be busy with other things and not to get to learn the beautiful religion of Islam, this is definitely something that we should stay away from. We should read in the biographies of the people of knowledge and how they sacrificed their time and their wealth and health to seek the knowledge of Islam, for it to be preserved for us. We need to get to seek the knowledge from the people of knowledge. The viewers, if you are, either you have the means to study the knowledge and to give the time to study the deen of Islam, to be a student of knowledge, to teach the religion of Islam to others, then don't waste your time. And take the proper steps to do that by seeking the knowledge among the people of knowledge, by learning the language of the deen of Islam, which is the Arabic language, and having the patience. It needs time and effort and patience for the person to learn, and for each and every one of us. It doesn't mean that this is only for them. There is mandatory knowledge for each and every one of us to learn. We need to know matters of tawheed, how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We need to know what is shirk, associating partners with Allah, so that we avoid falling in it. Because as a fact, if a person is not warned against shirk, against associating partners with Allah, and we know that the shaitan, the devil, is working constantly, and there's so much temptations and so much whispers and so on, a person can never be secure from falling into matters of associating partners with Allah. That's why in any part of the world, if people do not teach at tawheed, if they do not teach about matters of shirk to avoid shirk, then you would find the societies, as a result of the jahl, as a result of the ignorance, people might worship a grave, or worship a saint, or worship the stars or the moons, or take them as means, and so on and so forth, in which, and they hang amulets, and so on and so forth, in which we need to stay away from that, by getting to learn the deen of Islam, and to take the time to learn the deen of Allah, because it's the most virtuous thing, because it refers to the most important thing in our life, and that is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to protect ourselves from the hellfire, how to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a long journey that needs the provisions, and the provisions is al-ilm, the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So now knowing the virtues, knowing the importance of it, knowing that we need to seek the knowledge from the people of knowledge, and we know that the way to seek that is to have the patience and to study and to go to the houses of Allah and to learn about matters of the religion of Islam, then we would find our whole entire life changes according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That our original status, as we heard before, is that we do not know unless we get to know. Unless we get to know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, for example, in the Quran, two things that we are in need of. We need the oneness of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be constantly seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People of knowledge, they know the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They live with the fear and the hope, and they live with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, that know that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And seek forgiveness from your sins. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a result of that, fa'lam, which means the order, that means know, get to know that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the oneness of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means the person might fall. And as a fact, as human beings, we tend to make mistakes. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the authentic hadith, كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون, which means that every son of Adam is bound to make mistakes. They make mistakes a lot of sins. And then he said عليه الصلاة والسلام, the best of the sinners are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of the sinners, we all sinners. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges only with his justice, we all deserve to be punished. Why? Because we committed a sin one way or the other. But when it comes to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we need to subject ourselves to it. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that the mercy of Allah is very close to al-muhsineen, to the good doers. Good doers, how can we be among the good doers? By seeking knowledge and applying this knowledge and humbling ourselves to the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How can we repent? What are the rulings of repentance and so on? Two essential things in our life that we need to constantly seek. Before we end the program, I would like to mention to Brother Ahmed from Al-Giza, since he asked a question and he was hesitant whether to ask it in English or Arabic. So I would rather that he would ask it in the Arabic language so that there is no ambiguity or misunderstanding. And mashallah, the mashayikh, the scholars of the religion of Islam, those who come in this beautiful channel of Ar-Rahma, they can answer you inshallah ta'ala, so that there's no misleading information. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept from all of us, and that He give us sincerity, and that He make us among the knowledgeable ones, and for us to be guided in this life to the sunnah, to the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and in the hereafter to be among the companions or the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And at the end, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all to the truth. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Now I became selfless and free. The world around is breezy